Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This hour on The Brian Lehrer Show, 30 issues in 30 days, issue 24 on defending and not defending marriage. And we'll return to the debate from last night in a unique way. We'll have a call-in for immigrants from anywhere on how this world affairs debate sounded to you with respect to your country of origin. First, though, I'm going to take 60 seconds here at the top of the hour to do my Pledge Week duty and remind you that we are in the home stretch of our fall membership drive. It ends tomorrow. We hope everyone will donate $5 or $10 a month, maybe, to WNYC, whatever amount is right for you, to help keep independent, not-for-profit radio growing here in the New York area. And as an extra incentive to get everyone on board, we have one last contest for this membership drive that you've been probably hearing about, and it ends this hour. If you pledge by noon, you will automatically be entered to win $4,000 in travel vouchers from the online travel agency Viomma.com. Use them all at once. Use them over time. They're good for travel just about anywhere, or hotel, or airfare, however you want to use them. They're vouchers if you're the lucky winner. But the travel voucher contest ends at noon, so get your pledges in right now if you're going to support the station anyway. Might as well have a chance at all this free travel. 1-888-376-WNYC. Thank you for your support at 1-888-376-9692 or pledge online at WNYC.org. We'll talk about it more later, but thank you so much. Now, 30 issues in 30 days on defending and not defending marriage. Our guest is Yale Law Professor William Eskridge, author of Dishonorable Passions, Sodomy Laws in America. Professor Eskridge, thanks for doing this. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. It's always a pleasure.
Now, people can debate gay marriage one way or another, but for the presidential race, the question is the role of the federal government in marriage, which is traditionally a state issue. So I want to begin with a clip of Romney because it shows just how aggressive he thinks the federal government should be in this realm. Here he is at the Conservative Political Action Conference in February of this year. This begins with a reference to his tenure as governor of Massachusetts.
On my watch, we fought hard and prevented Massachusetts from becoming the Las Vegas of gay marriage. When I am president, I will defend the Defense of Marriage Act, and I will fight for an amendment to our Constitution that defines marriage as a relationship between a man and a woman.
Governor Romney from CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference earlier this year, endorsing a federal amendment, that is a U.S. constitutional amendment, to define marriage as between one man and one woman. Professor Eskridge, if that were to pass, would that undo, say, the New York law and the laws in other states that have passed same-sex marriage in their legislatures?
Well, Brian, unfortunately, the devil is always in the details, and it would depend on exactly how the amendment was phrased. Judge Bork, who is one of Governor Romney's major legal advisors, perhaps even the major legal advisor, devised language for a George W. Bush proposed federal marriage amendment that would not have preempted New York law, because New York was adopted by the legislature, but would have prevented the states and their Supreme Courts, or the U.S. Supreme Court, from interpreting the U.S. Constitution and perhaps state constitutions as well to require same-sex marriage as a matter of equal protection rights. So the probability is that whatever constitutional amendment that President Romney would propose would not preempt state legislated marriage, such as in New York and in many of the New England states, such as Connecticut, where I live.
Supporters of gay marriage say still that would be the only anti-civil rights amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Is there any other analogous amendment?
Well, that's a very good question. Yes, the U.S. Constitution, I think, has never been amended to section off one group and treat it differently from all others. The closest constitutional amendment, and it's not the same, would be the 11th Amendment, which responded to a Supreme Court opinion by giving states immunity from suits by debt. excluding it from the civil rights that are enjoyed by all other groups in the country.
Let's go on to Obama on gay marriage. And no matter who wins this election, Barack Obama made history in May when he became the first president to back same-sex marriage laws. Here is that moment that, regardless of one's opinion on the issue, made history on May 10th this year.
I've been going through an evolution on this issue. And I had hesitated on gay marriage, in part because I thought civil unions would be sufficient. But I have to tell you that over the course of several years, as I talk to friends and family and neighbors, when I think about members of my own staff who are in incredibly committed monogamous relationships, same-sex relationships, who are raising kids together, at a certain point I've just concluded that for me personally, it is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
The president with Robin Roberts on ABC May 10th this year. Law professor William Eskridge from Yale, my guest on WNYC. And again, Professor Eskridge, marriage is a state policy. Does it change anything that the president of the United States endorses an idea, historic as that moment was?
Well, yes, Brian, for a couple of different reasons. One is that it does differentiate himself from Governor Romney. Notice the contrast between President Obama's calm and reasoned explanation of his personal evolution with Governor Romney's near hysterical speech denouncing same-sex marriage, based really on no experience and probably not any evidence either. It's very dismaying to see a national political figure speak in such a hysterical way. And I praise the president for that. But the president believes has an influence in at least two different respects. One, trailing on your earlier question, whether the president supports a federal marriage amendment to the Constitution makes a huge difference. If you have someone in the White House who opposes such an amendment, it pretty much kills it, and it means that no such amendment would even be seriously pressed in either House of Congress, one controlled by the Republicans and one by the Democrats. On the other hand, if you did have a supporter of such an amendment in the White House, it probably would be pressed in one House or the other, though I think the chances of its adoption are virtually zero.
Hysterical is a pretty strong word. I mean, Romney, I guess, and other people in that camp would say, well, look, these are our values, and they would frame it as a values question, not a matter of anything that could be labeled hysteria.
Well, just listen to the clips from the two individuals. Obama is very conversational, very reasoned. Romney sounds very excited. You don't see Romney excited by a lot of issues. He's yelling. He's passionate. I can't imagine that he's personally as passionate about the issue as the voice seems to indicate. And most of the opposition, though by no means all of it, but most of the opposition to same-sex marriage is based upon hysterical emotions and not based upon the evidence. We have same-sex marriage now in many countries throughout the world, including Canada right next door, in a number of states in the United States, including New York, including Massachusetts, where Governor Romney is from, and in no jurisdiction that has recognized same-sex marriage. Have there been any bad effects on marriage, on heterosexuals, on children, on society? And indeed, in every jurisdiction that's been studied and that's had this institution for some time, the evidence has been that it gives dignified state recognition to committed relationships, exactly as the president said, many of them involving two committed couples raising children within the relationship. And it seems to me, as a matter of rational discourse, that's a good thing. And as a matter of empirical fact, that is what researchers have found in jurisdiction after jurisdiction.
And you certainly get to this notion from opponents of legal same-sex marriage that somehow heterosexual marriage is threatened by it, hence the name of the law that's increasingly controversial at the federal level, the Defense of Marriage Act. And on this note, I want to ask you about President Obama's policy of refusing to defend the so-called Defense of Marriage Law in court anymore. It's very rare for a sitting government not to defend its own laws in court, even if the current elected officials oppose the policy. So what kind of precedent did President Obama have for this, or what kind of precedent did he set by doing this?
Well, Brian, that's an excellent question. You're right. There are very few instances where on an important issue, the Department of Justice and the White House will simply refuse to defend a statute that has been adopted by Congress and that's in constitutional challenge. Really, the last instances of that are the federal laws that reflected the apartheid era. In other words, discrimination and exclusion based upon race. Interestingly, there were not a whole lot of federal statutes that embodied that philosophy. But what few statutes there were not defended by the federal government after World War II. And indeed, the Department of Justice in state as well as federal cases ultimately took the position that the apartheid presidents, mainly Plessy versus Ferguson, was incorrect and should be overruled, a suggestion the U.S. Supreme Court followed in Brown versus Board of Education. So that's probably the most salient parallel for a president and Department of Justice setting themselves against federal statutes. And you're exactly right. The Defense of Marriage Act indeed was adopted by fulsome bipartisan majorities. President Clinton, a Democrat, ran on that as part of his campaign for reelection in 1996, as did his opponent, Majority Leader Robert Dole, who was one of the supporters of the Defense of Marriage Act. So this is really quite remarkable that a statute passed less than 20 years ago by large bipartisan majorities and endorsed by the leaders of both major political parties is now the subject of serious constitutional litigation, with some cases now at the Supreme Court level, and where the head of one of the major parties will not defend it. And the head of the other major party, Governor Romney, has not made it, I take it, as big an issue in his election campaign as, say, President Bush did in 2004.
We're almost out of time. I want to take our last couple of minutes to move past same-sex marriage to other areas in which the federal government might play a role in gay rights. We have a really great graphic on our webpage right now. Listeners, a lot of you will want to go and look at this. It's another interactive 30 issues data graph posted by our WNYC data news team. It's a color wheel that shows the patchwork of gay rights laws state by state. And you can click on any state, and it'll show you employment discrimination laws, housing discrimination laws, all kinds of things. See it at wnyc.org/issues. And William Eskridge, other than marriage, does the federal government play a role in other kinds of sexual orientation anti-discrimination policy?
Well, unquestionably, the answer is yes. The most obvious example is the military. I think the largest employer in the United States is probably the United States military. And again, under President Clinton, with the fulsome support of the president, Congress adopted a don't ask, don't tell exclusionary statute in 1993. Now, fortunately, under President Obama, and again with bipartisan majorities, that statute was repealed, I believe, at the end of 2010, or at least the process was set in place that led to the repeal in 2011. That is a landmark event. Moreover, in response to your question, there has been pending in Congress, almost maybe every Congress since the 1990s, a proposed Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which would make it a federal offense for employers, public as well as private, to discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation, usually targeted against lesbian and gay employees. That statute was not passed in 2010 and certainly not in 2011. And if it were adopted by the federal government, it would be a landmark statute that would extend what you're describing, Brian, as this patchwork, at least in the employment sector, to a nationwide rule that employers cannot discriminate against lesbian and gay employees because of their sexual orientation. And I might add, you can't discriminate against straight employees either, which I think is an important event as well.
30 issues in 30 days, issue 24, The Defense and Non-Defense of Marriage, with Yale law professor and author of Dishonorable Passion, Sodomy Laws in America, William Eskridge. Thank you so much.
Brian, it's always a pleasure, and we appreciate the service that you do for your listeners.
Thank you very much. And listeners, again, we have a really great graphic on our webpage right now, another 30 issues interactive data graphic posted by our WNYC data news team that shows the patchwork of gay rights laws state by state, employment discrimination laws, housing discrimination laws, all kinds of things. See it at wnyc.org/issues. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we'll return to last night's debate in a unique way. It's a call-in for immigrants from anywhere on how the debate sounded to you with respect to your country of origin. Since the debate was about America and the world, let's find out if it sounded different to people from countries that were being talked about. And our guest for this will be you. Since we have immigrants from everywhere living in the New York area, we will open up the phones for calls from anyone not originally from the United States on the debate and your country of origin. Give us a call. We'll put you on the air in just a few minutes. 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. It's a call-in for immigrants from anywhere on what you picked up on in the debate last night with respect to your country of origin that you want to mention. Anywhere in the world, as it was mentioned in the debate last night, and if you are from there, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Your call's coming up.